Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, reading from verses 1 to 25. The parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. A lamp on a stand. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." This is the word of the Lord.
As we stand, we pray together. Lord, we thank you. You make our wants your care. Thank you that you provide for us. We give you thanks for the way that you provided for us this week. We give you thanks for the way that you provided for us as part of your church this week. We thank you for the generosity with which you distribute all that you have. The owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so we delight in that. We give thanks that everything we have comes from you. whether that's as individuals or whether that's us as a church. We take nothing for granted, and we give you all the honor and the praise. Take who we are and take what we have and use it to your praise and glory. Sow deeply into us so that we might sow deeply from your generosity into the lives of others. We come to your word now, speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, and help us to walk with you today and in the days to come. For this we pray in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, our Saviour, our brother, and our Lord. Amen. And it would help you if you have a copy of the Bible open before you. We are still not giving out Bibles, so it's helpful if you bring one with you, or you open one up on your phone. You sometimes see me during a service with my phone in my hand. I'm not doing Facebook. Just want to disabuse people of this. I'm not doing Facebook. I'm not doing WhatsApp. You may not know this, but I have another hat on when I'm here, as well as standing up here doing this thing. I am also one of the technical support people. So last Sunday, I wasn't up front, which was just as well, because the cameras went down. Those of you who are watching at home, the cameras went down, and the techies were running around. I got a message. Ali was on the desk saying, the cameras aren't working, so there's no streaming going on, so folk at home have been cut off. So I had to run around, and we found out what was wrong. A plug had come out, and that was all simple to fix. So if you see me on my phone, please don't think I'm not interested in what's happening. It's probably because I'm over-interested in what's happening, and be aware of that. But we do encourage as a church everybody to, if you've got a smartphone, to read the Bible on your smartphone. It's not the same as having a physical Bible. I've taken to trying to have a physical Bible when I'm up here, up the front, because it's just more, I think it's more helpful to do that, just to have the physical Word of God. But it's convenient to have the Word of God on our devices. It's really handy wherever we are, we're able to turn to the Word of God. And so we're going to do that this morning. I just want to say one other thing. This is the kind of notices bit of the service this morning. We don't tend to have notices these days. But one of the exciting things that has happened as a result of COVID is that we no longer pass the collection, the offering bags around. Have you noticed that? Because of COVID restrictions, we no longer do that. I know some people, they would quite like being able to do that and put things in. So people have felt a little bit bereft, those who particularly like to give like that. We try to encourage people to give in other ways, online and so on, and direct debit and so on. But the treasurer, who wears many hats in this church, he's a man called Miller. Miller, just stand up. He's on the projection this morning. That's what I mean. He wears many hats. Miller has been busy, and he, just so that everybody who wants to give and is able to give, if you feel that you would like to give, just get your checkbook out now. And there's a little box. If you see it on the wall, at the box there, I feel like a TV evangelist when I'm saying this. There's a box now you can put giving into if you would prefer to give like that, and that will be looked at every Sunday. We just want to make it possible for people to contribute in any way that they want to do that. So that's just another avenue. It's not often we talk about these things, but because the box is there, I just wanted to draw your attention to it. So we're continuing our series in the Gospel of Mark, and we come to the parable of the sower and not hiding our lamp. It's a great story, isn't it? It was great to have that little animation at the beginning, as well as Sandy reading it for us. And it's a wonderful story, and there's little details in it that are just perfect, really, and just point to the brilliance of Jesus as a communicator. Did you see that right at the beginning of the reading? Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd gathered round him was so large. Remember, we were learning about who do we want to be famous? Do we want our pastor to be famous, or do we want Jesus to be famous? So Jesus' fame has spread, so much so that people are gathered around him. And what does he do? He gets into a boat and sat in it on the lake and did his teaching. You know, if you know Monty Python's Life of Brian, you know that movie? It was a time when you weren't allowed to watch it because it was regarded as being sacrilege. I don't really think it is sacrilege at all, because it wasn't really about Jesus. It was about mistaken identity. There's that famous scene where nobody can understand what Jesus is saying. What did he say? Blessed are the cheesemakers. And so maybe you wonder about that. How did Jesus communicate? Well, apparently, if you're on water and you're talking to someone from a boat across fairly still water, that acts like a natural amphitheater and it amplifies your voice. So it's actually quite a clever thing for Jesus to be doing. It not only stops the crowd, because if you're surrounded by people and people are closing in on you, you're kind of doing, you're standing up and down trying to communicate to people because people are so close. So he was communicating in the best way possible. Remember, they didn't have the joys of amplification that we enjoy. So I just love that little detail. He goes out on the water, not just to get away from people, but probably because it helped him communicate the message that he was going to give to people. And he taught them many things by parables. And again, the clever thing that Jesus does here is when he says stuff like, listen. People are rubbish at listening, aren't they? Don't we love a listener? When someone really listens to you, you feel good that someone has listened to your story. Rather than filling in everything with words, they sort of listen attentively. If you happen to be married, it's one of the greatest gifts. If you're married and you're a man, the greatest gift you can give to your wife is what? Not flowers, not chocolates, listening. It is the biggest, best gift. And I love the way that Jesus constantly says to people, listen. The greatest problem we have is that we do not listen to what Jesus is saying to us. I read this thing this week. If you tilted up the amount of time that you spent in front of a screen, whether that's a little screen like a phone or the TV during the week, and then compared how much time you spend listening to God, praying, or reading God's word, you might be a little bit disappointed in yourself. I did it this week, and I was genuinely disappointed in myself. It was a real challenge. Our calling as followers of Jesus is to be listeners, to listen to God and to listen to one another. And Jesus calls us to that. Listen, he doesn't just tell the story. He says, you've got to listen to this. What I'm saying is really important, says Jesus. Listen to this. He who has ears, let him hear. It's a sort of emphasis again. Listen to what I'm saying. It's really important. And the background is this. He tells this story. Remember, he's telling this story to those who are following him. To the crowd, he taught them many things. And in his teaching, he said, and he tells them the story of the sower. So let's look at this. What might this mean for us? Now, while we call this parable the parable of the sower, it might also be called the parable of the soil. Because actually, that features quite a lot in the story, doesn't it? The soil is really important. The soil is very much at the heart of what Jesus is saying here. And there are four different types of soil at work here. First of all, we see that the sower sows generously. A farmer goes out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It's not like when we sow seeds. I don't know, I've tried to sow seeds at various points, drilling down a little hole and putting the seed in the hope that it grows up. It's been a dismal year in all sorts of ways. My green fingers have not been very functional this year. I've been very disappointed. But this image is of the sower throwing the seeds anywhere and everywhere, all over the place. Not drilling down and putting them down carefully. This is the generosity of the sower, throwing out the seed here, there, and everywhere. And he does it because he knows the more he sows, the bigger the crop is going to be. Yes, some of the seed will be lost, but the return is going to be worth the cost. So let's look at the four soils. The first soil are the seeds that fall on the path. Some fell along the path and the birds came, verse 4, and ate it up. Some falls on the past, on the path. The first soil shows how generously the sower is. He throws the seed everywhere, so much so that some of it goes on the path. It's going to be trod down. It's going to be trampled upon, even onto the paths. And so the seeds can't penetrate the soil that's been compressed by people walking on it and will end up being eaten by the birds. And that represents those people who harden their hearts and refuse to listen to their gospel. And sometimes when we have read this parable, we think that's about people who are yet to receive the gospel. But here's a perception of what happens here. You see, some people, the seed falls upon them, and they might have an opportunity to hear it, but they harden their hearts. And of course, one of the problems for all of us is that as we grow older, our hearts can harden towards God through the changing scenes of life. You see why we sang that this morning? Through all the changing scenes of life. Well, bad things happen to us. And sometimes our hearts can harden against God. And I think the soil here represents those who've hardened their hearts and refuse to listen to the gospel. They simply reject it without taking time to even consider it. And that's both people outside the body of Christ, but also those of us who are inside. That can happen so easily. Seeds can't bring life in hard-pressed soil. And similarly, the gospel can't take root in a heart that is hardened. So if you know that your heart is hardened or is hardening today, I pray that the Lord softens your heart. You have to make a determination about that and say, Lord, soften my heart. You need to make that choice too. Say, Lord, soften my heart. I don't want to be hard-hearted. I want your gospel to grow, and blossom within me. We'll not do it again, don't worry. Have a soft heart. And we pray that for the people that are around us. You know, we live, the soil right now around us is hard. It's a hard path that every church in the land, in the West, is on. The path is hard that we tread. People's hearts are hardened against the gospel. Partly because the cares of life. We'll think more about that in a moment. But there's so many distractions. People's hearts are hardened. The second soil is this, the seeds that fall. Well, let's call it, what should we call it? We call it thin soil. Soil that's not very fertile. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. The soil is thin. There's a lot of rocks around. Seed that's planted in shallow soil, well, it will often start growing, and you'll see some signs of life. I had this with my window boxes this year. I had various things in it, and I realized that they started growing, and it looked like there might be, you know, a good growing season, but they didn't come to anything. It was a disaster. Our window boxes were a disaster, I confess. Sorry to the gardeners in the congregation. I've been a rubbish gardener this summer. Please forgive me, and don't give me lessons. I'm not sure what I'm going to do in the future about it. Don't try and give me advice. I'm kind of distraught and embarrassed by the whole escapade. But that's what happens. You don't plant deeply enough, then the plants won't take root, and any life that does come is going to be short-lived. So the soil is simply not deep enough to sustain the life. There's not enough water for the plant, so eventually the sun will scorch out all its life. And because we've had a fairly dry summer, that's exactly what happened. And that seed represents, in that sort of soil, it represents those folk who are initially enthusiastic, people who get quite excited and are genuinely enthusiastic. I can't tell you the number of people over the years that I've encountered who, they come in contact with the church and they say, oh, this is quite interesting, it's quite exciting what's happening. But then they explore a little bit more and they go on a little bit more and there's other stuff happening around about them or in their life and their enthusiasm wanes. The roots were never that deep in the first place. Life happened, maybe a tragedy strikes, or they just got busy and their life faded. We live in a time when people are incredibly busy. If you walk to church on a Sunday morning, make notes of everything that is going on as you walk along to church. Notice the things that you pass. People walking to the David Lloyd Center. People standing outside the dance class, waiting to go in for dancing classes. And I'm walking past. I'm smiling because I'm going to church. Nobody's going to church. Who's doing that? Very few people are doing that. Lots of people have so many different things going on in their life. We need to recognize that. What we do on a Sunday, we are in competition with lots and lots of other stuff. And even folk who are followers of Jesus are making decisions. Well, you know, we've got kids, so it's quite important that they're getting on with their peers, so it's important they go to dance classes and stuff. So people are making choices like that all the time. That's the That's where we're at in our culture. We might not like it, but that's how it is. So how on earth can we plant seed that is going to grow up in people's lives, that's going to go down deep and allow the gospel to grow and grow and to blossom in people's lives? Plants need roots to go deep to get water and nutrients to survive. So one of the things we need to pray for and to work towards is how we might do that. The third seed is this, the seed that falls amongst the thorns. The seed that falls amongst the thorns. Verse 7. When you have fertile soil, it's not just the good seeds that will take root. Thorns also try to take advantage of the soil. When that happens, the thorns will eventually choke out the good seeds. The young seeds can simply not survive the attack, the onslaught. And then that seed, I think, represents those who might look good on the outside, but have let sin creep in on the inside. There's that business of looking good, but being bad. Looking good, but being bad. It happens all too often. It happens even amongst church leaders, ministers, pastors, who look good, but actually there is unconfessed sin going on in the background. Although people might say that Jesus is Lord, people's lives, what's going on internally and privately, tell a different story. They haven't fully surrendered or turned their lives over to Jesus. And that path is a path that leads to destruction and disappointment. Someone put it like this. Concerning this third type of soil, it's incorrect to picture little seeds being thrown in the middle of a weed patch. The thorns, if any are left after the hot, dry summer, would be ploughed under after the seed has been sown. The true picture is good seed competing with bad seed. In the Gospel of Luke version of this story, the parable, the word symphio means to grow up together. That's the world in which we live. Good seed, bad seed growing up together. And the implication is really obvious, isn't it? Our lives may look pure. Ostensibly, we are in no danger of bad weeds, but the seeds are always there. That's the world that we live in. The soil has that mixed quality to it. That's why it's so important for us to be guarding our hearts, to be careful about what we're taking in, what we're reading, what we're listening to, what we're focusing on. It's important we guard our hearts. We need to be constantly looking out for those things that would seek to attack our spiritual life, that would seek to kill, to choke the spiritual life that God has for us. The fourth soil is this. Well, there's the seeds that fall in the good soil. Still, other seed falls on good soil and it produced a crop 160 or 30 times that was sown. When seeds find good soil, good fertile soil, they sprout to life. It's quite exciting, isn't it? If you plant a seed in a little pot and you see that first sign of life coming and you just, you know, you do the things that you do. You begin to talk to the plant. Anyone talk to their plants? You know, and plants listen, don't they? I don't know. I don't think they do, but imagine. People tell me they do. We don't know. But people do that. We sort of nurture them and we sort of nourish them. And how are you today? Is it just me that does this, talking to plants? Or do we all do this? Because we want to see the life growing. We just love that. And we have a sense of something wonderful happening, creation at work, the creator at work. They sprout to life, but produce an abundant crop. You've heard me talk about the white rose bush that I planted a few years ago so that I never have to buy my wife, who loves white roses, I never have to buy her white roses again. And it's still blossoming. It's still got white blossoms right now as we go into October. In fact, it's got more buds coming that will probably last until the end of the month. And then over the winter, I'll have to buy flowers to keep in the good books. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, when you see the buds growing in fertile soil. And the soil represents those who hear the gospel and who follow Jesus. Their roots go down deep and they can be sustained in the hardships of life, when the weather is bad, when the circumstances are difficult, when the storm comes. People's faith is continued. One of the things that has been amazing and wonderful and so encouraging over the last 18 months has been to see how people's faith has grown, even in the midst of the difficulties, how people have helped, not just held on, but have actually blossomed in faith. There's a lot of you, both here and at home, for whom that is true. It has been such an encouragement. We know that there are some, the soil has not been maybe quite so fertile. But Jesus told this story, I think he told it for people who are pastors, just to say, look, this is how it's going to be. Not everybody is going to last. It's not going to be sustainable, and it's not entirely down to you being rubbish as a pastor. It's down to the decisions and the circumstances and the soil that people find themselves in. But we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. Will we be good soil? Where the Lord can do stuff in us. Will we be good soil where he can be at work in us? You see, essentially, all the soil is the same. All the soil is the same. All soil is basically the same. It's the circumstances around that determine whether things are going to grow up. If your heart is hard, your faith is shallow, or if something is choking the life out of you, well, it's not too late to change because of the work of Jesus. Life can come from the dry, hard-pressed soil of our life. You know that valley of the dry bones in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, where the Spirit breathes life into the dry, dead bones. That's a constant picture in the Bible. If you are dry and hard, what does the Lord want to do? Does he want to leave you in that place? No, he wants us to be full of his life. And so the parable of the sower has two implications for us, those of us who follow Jesus. One of those is for us to be good soil, to make the conditions right, to be good soil, to be open to what God wants to do. And the second is this. You see, when it talks about the sower, who is the sower? The sower is the farmer. Who is God? Who's a generous God who throws the seed out generously all over the place. But you know, who is God's hands? Who are the hands of God? You know, the right answer is Jesus and all that stuff. You know, when you ask somebody, a pastor asks that question, you can say Jesus. But actually, the picture we have in the New Testament is of the body of Christ, isn't it? The body of Christ. So who are the hands of Jesus? Who does the sowing for the Lord? Who are the ones that sow? Can you guess who that might be? It's me. But not just me. It's you as well. All of us are sowers. Wherever we find ourselves, whether we're young or whether we're really, 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 really old, all of us get to be sowers, sowing the seed generously. We had a vestry away day yesterday. Our leadership team were away yesterday down in North Berwick. What an amazing time it was just to be in a room with people chatting and praying and talking and enjoying one another's company and trying to do lots of strategy and thinking about direction and what we'll be about. And I love it when people have all sorts of schemes, you know. We've got this thing now that for the last 30 years, lots of churches have become about programs. If only we do a certain kind of program, we run this program, then maybe that will reach people. And all of us, you know, as a church leader, I've lived for that. That is part of our DNA. We have to think like that. What programs can we run that might be attractive to people? And there is a place for that. It's important that we think about that. But actually, behind all of that, the only thing that makes programs function and work, it's not knocking on doors. It's not putting things through people's letterboxes and all that stuff. All things that we've done and do and are important, that is not the thing that grows the kingdom of God. The thing that grows the kingdom of God is God's people, his eyes and his ears and his hands are sowing the seed. Now, that doesn't mean that we stand on street corners with our Bibles in hand. Some of us both do this. It doesn't mean that all of us have to do that, but all of us have to say, I have an opportunity to sow seed this week. And one of the brilliant stories, one of the vestry members told a brilliant story about someone who was in a bit of trouble in their life, and how this vestry member shared a little passage of scripture with them. I don't think this person was a believer, but just had the confidence to share a little bit of scripture, one of Jesus' parables. And this person responded, said, thank you so much for sharing that. It just spoke right into the particular situation I was in. Thank you for doing that. So we need to have the discernment to know when do we need to be confident enough to share a little bit of what God has spoken into our hearts and into our lives. What a difference it makes. You see, if we're all taking that responsibility seriously, to be God's hands, to sow seed wherever we can and whenever we can, when we're led by the Holy Spirit to do that, then we're preparing further ground for maybe running the programs that we would love to run. But you see, there's no point me saying today we're going to run a program that's for inquirers if none of us have got any contacts with people that seeds have been sown in. Already, it just, you know, it will end up with a couple of us putting a lot of energy into putting something together, nothing. So we have to be committed to that as a vision. We need to be passionate about that. We're going to, as a church, if we're looking for direction, one of the directions we'll take is we'll be committed to be sowers of seed. All of us will take that responsibility really seriously. It'll be at the heart of who we are. We'll become part of our DNA. What do we do? We'll be saying, what opportunities have I got to sow seed amongst my family, amongst my friend, amongst my neighbours? You see, the parable ends like this, doesn't it? Did you know? It was great. Thank you, Sandy, for reading it in the way that you did this morning. But that passage ends with a lamp and a stand. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand, for what is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears, let him hear. And of course, Jesus is referring to himself. Right the way through Mark's gospel, you get what's called the messianic secret. Whenever he does a miracle, he says, don't tell anybody about this. We're not quite ready for the launch of this. Keep quiet about it. And of course, everybody just ignores him and say, oh, we're so excited Jesus is doing this. But actually, so he's talking about that revelation, about the Son of God has come into the world to transform the world. And for so long, churches have been about, we meet together and we hide away in our beautiful buildings. I mean, even as I walk along, when I walk along to this building, it's such a prominent building. It's such a prominent building. One of the things we talked about yesterday is, how can we make it more prominent? About 10 minutes' time. Because we'll go out from here, the sun remains shining, and we will gather outside for our coffee, because the sun's still shining. I don't know what we'll do in December when it's snowing, but hopefully by then we'll all be allowed to be in the building for refreshments. But it's amazing when we gather outside. Stay, don't rush away. You're not allowed to rush away. You have to stay. Make the crowd big so that the light is shining. It's very exciting when we do that. Are you excited? But that's what we've got a job to do. We've got to be light. We've got to shine a light in the midst of the darkness. We are in a dark time. There's no petrol. The shelves are empty, mainly in the southeast of England. I mean, it's not happened here yet, but you know, it's kind of, there's things happening, the likes of which have not happened for a long, long time in this country. There's a lot of darkness around. So what are we going to do? What's the message we've got? We've got the light of Jesus to show and proclaim, the love of Jesus to share with people. And we need to understand people won't all respond in the same way. Some people will reject. The seed won't go very deep, but there will be people who are fertile soil, who the Lord has been working in, the Holy Spirit has been working in, and the Lord will draw them to himself. So there's a program, or the beginnings of a program. Will you join with me and be a sower of seed? Will you be good soil with me in which the Lord can grow and grow and bring to blossom, to bring to fruit what he wants to do in me and in you? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are a generous sower. We thank you so much that you are, that you sow generously in our lives and in our life as a church. Help us all to be sowing this week, to be led to the people that you want us to sow that seed in. And Lord, may you amaze us in the days to come, in the weeks to come, in the months and years to come, with the way that the seed grows up and brings good fruit. We pray in Jesus' name.